This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Unless you've rubbed shoulders with it, the Wisconsin Natural Resources Board may mean nothing to you. Yet the roots of the seven-member panel created to serve as a bridge between natural resources policy and the good of the people date back to 1867. For the last 7 years, David Clausen served on the board, the last year and a half as its chair. This week marked the end of Clausen's term. He sat down with WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz to reflect on his tenure. Clausen explains how he, a veterinarian, avid hunter, and conservationist from the far northeastern reaches of the state, came onto the board. He credits one of its longtime members.
I was always interested in being on the board, and a long time ago, I testified before the board on a certain habitat project and became friends, found out that Herb Benke, who was on the board, had hunted many of the same spots I had, and we had an awful lot of things in common, and we became friends, and we would hunt together from time to time, and just struck up a friendship, and we talked from time to time about getting on the board. And generally, it's been pretty historic that people that are appointed to this board are people that have been longtime supporters of the governor that appoints them. And I was not exactly in that position. But it turned out just as through fate, Governor Doyle wanted to appoint some people to the board, and he asked if Herb would want to be replaced by somebody, and it turned out I was the only Democrat in the state that he would resign for. So that and asking every donor that I knew in the northwestern part of the state to write a letter to the governor saying I should be on that board. So being in the right place at the right time and shameless self-promotion is how I got here.
Explain for people who perhaps haven't been tuned into what the Natural Resources Board, what its function is.
Well, the statutes say that there shall be created a Department of Natural Resources under the direction of the Natural Resources Board. So our job is to essentially set policy for the Department of Natural Resources. We approve the administrative rules and supposedly have some influence on the budget. But I think that power was certainly eroded starting in 1995 when the board lost the ability to appoint the secretary, and the secretary became a cabinet position of the governor. So there's always a little bit of tension there. If you go back in history, the reason that we had a Natural Resources Board or a Conservation Commission in the first place goes back into the late 1920s, and people like Aldo Leopold and William Aberg, who was a Republican businessman here, felt that the management of natural resources required a long-term vision, and that every time there was a change in administration, you shouldn't be changing the focus of what you're doing or the approach to what you were doing. And so it was felt that having an independent commission that selected the secretary and he was their employee, that would give this long-term viewpoint to management of natural resources. And I think that worked fairly well. Now, I'm not saying that there wasn't politics. There's always politics involved in everything that you're doing, especially with natural resources.
If you were asked to diagnose the Department of Natural Resources' capacity to carry out its mission and the tensions of a state in which jobs are lacking and there's a call for streamlining and permitting just in general, do you see that as a healthy challenge or a unrealistic one?
Man, you ask hard questions here. I think One of the things that has changed is that I told you that I can remember when Lake Erie caught on fire. I can remember the smog in California and some of those other type of things. So the people of my generation grew up, we knew really polluted water, we knew really polluted air. And we have done, as a society, we've done really a great job at cleaning that stuff up. And so people that are born in the last 30 years or so have grown up taking clean water and clean air for granted. And so they don't, that's just not on their radar screen. They think it's always been that way and it's always going to be that way. And from, you know, from coming from the perspective where I have, I am concerned about every time I see a little bit of backsliding because I don't want it to go back to the way it was before. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen either, but, you know, you can bleed to death from 1,000 cuts as easily as you can bleed to from one big gash. One thing that that I have noticed on my time on the board is that what comes over from the legislature has been much more prescriptive. I mean, it's tends to be going in the direction that stuff is prescriptive, and when it's really prescriptive, again, it dilutes the influence of the Natural Resources Board because, as Ralph Fritsch said, you have a choice between having spaghetti or lasagna, but you're going to eat Italian. And that's kind of one of the things that, I have noticed.
Do you think that that's a healthy thing, to have a more prescriptive law or not?
No, I don't think that's a healthy thing to have a more prescriptive law, especially when that law may be in conflict with some of the federal regulations.
So an example could be the debate around the wolf hunt law.
Yeah, I think you know, there certainly has been a huge amount of debate. I don't think that there was probably sufficient debate when it was at the legislature, and it concerns me the fact that the DNR's wolf expert was not called to testify at the legislature on that thing, and you know, when it gets so prescriptive and there is not a lot of public input, I'm not surprised at the reaction that's going on now. There are those that would feel that the legislature has spoken on this and that's the end of the story. But I think that it's never the end of the story. If people are concerned, the legislature needs to represent the will of the people. And it's interesting. There's a the first time that I ever was in the governor's conference room, it's a very beautiful room with a lot of artwork in, but the thing that impressed me most is up on the ceiling, it's engraved, is that the will of the people is the law of the land. And I thought, man, what a profound statement. And then it occurred to me, just how do you go about conveying the will of the people if they don't have an opportunity to express that their viewpoint or their will? And that is the rub of government forever. Some people get to speak louder than others. Do the ones that speak the loudest speak for the most? That's a judgment the politicians always have to end up making.
Do you think you'll leave your term with a handful of real concerns about issues that you think could have a long-term impact on Wisconsin's environment or natural resources?
I probably came into this position with a handful of concerns that would have a long impact, and I'm probably going to be leaving with them also.
Would you put groundwater issues? Would you put that at the top of your list?
You know, that is one of the things that is the most important to me. In Wisconsin, we have always felt that we had a limitless supply of water, and because we had a limited supply, we didn't need to worry about how it was allocated and that type of thing. The western states have dealt with water shortages for a long time, and they have rather complex laws to deal with who gets the runoff from this and how much water can you use and that type of thing. We haven't had to do that. But now we're looking in a situation, certainly part of it, climatic conditions, prolonged drought. I mean, look at Lake Superior, Lake Michigan, they're down. The Great Lakes are all down significantly. We have had some streams that have been affected. We've had some lakes that have dropped. And the science says that there's, for some of these streams and lakes, that there's a connection with the removal of groundwater. And we have not, as a state, really fully come to grips with how we're going to solve that issue. And so if I have a concern, it's that we at least start talking about this. You know, it's like having I love hot fudge malts, but having two or three people sucking in a straw out of that malt and nobody worrying about what's there till all of a sudden you hear that sucking sound when it starts getting empty down there. And I think we ought to be talking about this and doing something about this before we hear that sucking sound. There's indications it's going to be happening, and we need to be proactive and get at that.
Do you feel as though you have the same, that your philosophy has tempered in any way through your experience on the board coming in and now leaving?
I don't think that my philosophy has tempered, but I do know a lot more. I'm more aware of things than when I came on, and you know, you could liken it to approaching the foothills of a mountain, and you look up, and the mountain has a certain view to you. So you climb to the top of the first of the foothills, and then you look back to where you've came from, and you look ahead to where you're going, and everything looks different. The top of the mountain is still the same, but there's a lot of stuff that's between you and that mountain that you didn't realize that was there before you climbed that first hill. And so, you know, life is just kind of like that.
So you're talking about unexpected obstacles?
I like to talk about unexpected opportunities.
David Clausen is a semi-retired veterinarian from Amory, Wisconsin. This week marked the end of his term as chair of Wisconsin's Natural Resources Board. He's served on the board for 7 years. He spoke with WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz. We'll have our monthly look up at the night sky coming up with our astronomy contributor Gene Creighton. That comes your way next on Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.